Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Wow, Matt. Fellow adventurers, we are playing as Sir Croakington, who in the previous episode got the second redstone from Garthrin the Great, who probably will, when he looks over it in the past after a lot of time, will realise that's actually a good thing. But right now he's probably still furious about it, because that's just how the dreadstones do. And so, anyway, we're going to look for the third, because there are three of them. And the third... Well, okay. I'm kind of spoiling things there. Anyway, an adventure has been unlocked. It's called the Giants of Gallowtop. And it's in the Southfoot region. So, firstly, I'm going to go to Hawklaw to save the game. So... Well, I happen to know that this game has a lot of choices and this one has a lot of choices and options, so if I save, I can just zoop back to it. Southwest Tausa. Southfoot region. Oh, yep, that's... There we are. Visit Southfoot. Southfoot is the name of a large area in Southwest Tausa that is situated in the southern foothills of the mighty Fedorin Range. It's a rugged, outlying area of the kingdom. Adventures for this location. The Giants of Gallowtop, a trio of mountain giants and a missing would-be adventurer, have caused quite a stir in the remote village of Warbois. Let us begin. 6 miles north and east of the village of Warbois, in the midst of the rugged, wild region known as Southfoot, stands the stark, foreboding spectre of Gallowtop Hill. The thick, timbered remnants of the hangman's platform still crowns the rise beneath the ancient oak from which the noose has dangled, from which no noose has dangled for nigh on 30 years. You glance thoughtfully at the lonely, natural landmark as you make your way along the uneven road, heading south into Wildbriar, eager to set yourself before the warm, welcoming glow of the fire in the common room of the Wayfire House, the remote village's only inn, and your only chance of finding a hot supper tonight. Your trek through the region has been long and difficult, culminating yesterday morning with the discovery of an elderly, golden-bearded traveller dead on the side of the road, with no evidence of any violence against him. You believe his death to have been a natural one. Pouches filled with herbs and powders were fastened to a rope belt, and its twin packs were filled with empty vials, so some sort of herbalist, I guess. After laying him to rest in a shallow grave at the edge of the road, which was quite difficult for Sir Croakington too, she decided to just summon an elemental to help out. After laying him to rest in a shallow grave at the edge of the road... Wait, would they really... Would that be... Would that be less respectful? Probably. Yeah, it's very hard, but Sir Cokington went for it anyway. After laying him to rest in a shallow grave at the edge of the road, you set down his packs to mark the spot. You then offered a small prayer on behalf of the deceased healer, for once again setting off on your way. Your thoughts suddenly returned to the present, as you catch sight of a thin trail of smoke rising up the north side of Gallowtop, and you wonder who it is that will settle themselves into such a grim spot of earth. You can't help but feel that even enveloped in the radiating glow of a warring blaze, the chill of that place must be something to be reckon with. As the wayfarer's house looms into view out of the lengthening shadows of the south, you push all thoughts out of the lonely hill out of your mind. Already, the flickering luminescence of the inn's fire spills out onto the lane, and you can all but taste the bitter froth of the late autumn sweet mash ale. I don't care what led him up that way. It's like as not he's been dead since yesterday. The grey-bearded man, his face flushed and his eyes fixed coldly on the four men seated at the table just inside the door, momentarily turns his gaze towards you as you step into the inn. I'll not sit here and have the lot of you tell me that I'm to send up our lads to bring back his bones. We'll wait for the rangers. That we will. At that, the grey-bearded man exhales heavily, adjusts his tight-fitting tunic and storms off to have a word with the innkeeper, a short, plump man who's been watching the spectacle from afar. The four men at the table roll their eyes and drop into a private, hushed conversation. You're about to make your way over to the innkeeper and inquire about lodging for the night when you suddenly realise he's waving at you. The innkeeper, Worthful, seems to know all about you, including a few of the more obscure details of your recent adventures, and introduces you to the grey-bearded man, who turns out to be Wildabar's wanking elder, a man named Anbragar. I should apologise for having carried on so, he says. It's my distinct pleasure to meet you, Sir Crokington. We've all heard our fair share about your adventures. It's a most impressive litany. The innkeeper promptly hurries off to tend to his duties as a host, and you soon find yourself engaged in conversation with Anbragar. You learn that 2 days ago, three mountain giants were sighted moving north and east through the sparse woodlands that surround Gallowtop Hill. Not the first time you've seen it, mind you, says Anbragar, but it's a bit of a fright all the same. This time, though, we had ourselves a bit of luck. Or good fortune, as some around here might see fit to call a bit of ill luck, or good fortune, as some around here might see fit to call it. Agrabah tells you that Wildabar's most notorious resident, a haughty, self-proclaimed swordsman and adventurer named Wandelier, defying Agbigar's stern warning, set off to confront the giants as the fearsome trio of giants took up residence on the north side of Gallowtop Hill. Okay, that's not going to end badly for him. He's quite handy with a blade, and handier yet with his mouth, says the elder, frowning. It's been nearly 2 days since we've seen him. Can't help but think he ended up in a cook pot up on old Gallowtop. A lot of folk around here think he's a hero. They believe every crooked word that spills off his tongue. He's been nothing but trouble since he grew big enough to carry that sword of his. Akbar tells you that Wandelier, soon after coming of age, began to imagine himself to be something of a fearless adventurer. You learn that the young man would often get himself and others into trouble by seeking out dangerous creatures, goblins, ogres and the like, and leading them back towards Wildbar. A small militia was enough to deal with the old goblin or two, and even an ogre now and then, says Alibar. But there were times he came back this way in full flight from half a dozen trolls. At one time a horn-tailed boar. But this business about the giants just top all. The village elder tells you that he fears Wanderley's actions may well lead the trio of giants to Wardbois. What's worse is our young hero has been made much the worse since he acquired what he believes is a magical stone, says Algebar. He thinks that it's made him invincible, though I only fear that it will likely lead into a gruesome and untimely demise, if it hasn't already. Algebar sighs and shakes his head. I've sent word to the nearest ranger outpost, a few days north of here, he says. I don't know that they'll be too keen to come down this way and have a look at our little dilemma. I pray the giants just up and leave. I can't say what brought them down this way. Unless it's just the promise of escaping the mountains of wintry Wath. And Brugar has made no attempt to ask you to intervene in the matter. But you fully realise you may be able to successfully resolve the situation. Even before any border rangers arrive. Because presumably, they're just keeping him around. Or he's good at hiding. There's a chance that he could last until I get there, but he wouldn't last until the border rangers get there. I mean, there's a chance. Although, I think the odds are he's probably already dead. With that thought foremost in your mind, you tell Agrabah you'd like his permission to approach the giants. Your bold request is at first met with scepticism by the grey-bearded elder, but quickly his eyes widen as he seems to absorb the enormity of your offer. He tells you that while he appreciates your willingness to help, he has no desire to send you into harm's way. I'll give the rangers the same caution when they arrive, he says. It's best to wait out these creatures, of course. If it can be done. Would you really be willing to go up to Galatrop, Sir Crokington? A single nod confirms your attentions. Yeah, of course. I think in the more recent adventures, they kind of turned off the click this option to have the adventure suddenly end and have nothing fun happen option. Because I think presumably by the time you get this far, your personality, your generally established much as guy that does things, that having something to do and then just wandering off just isn't what you do. And also it's kind of a way just to not have fun. And if you click the skip the adventure option and then save, well, that's an entire adventure you can't do. But in some cases, it doesn't happen. In other cases, it's just the adventure's still there and you go through the same thing again. Agrabah is noticeably relieved and has decided that the best course of action is for you to travel to Galatop the following morning and assess the situation for yourself. He tells you that he hopes any sort of confrontation can be avoided and that the giants can be convinced to peacefully leave and return to the mountains that serve as their normal abode. On the latter point, you're in full agreement. You spend the night tucked away in the warmth and safety of the private room on the upper floor of the inn, with the intention for striking out Galatop Hill at dawn's first light. Withril, the ever-toiling keeper of Wydebar's only enterprise of note, sees to it that you're fed and outfitted with a pile of clean blankets, including two very warm sleeping furs, beneath the motley collection of covers, you drift into a deep and undisturbed sleep. Morning dawns, pale and cold, and you arrive downstairs in the inn's common room to find Angubar and Wuthwa awaiting you. The inn is empty, save for the three of you, and after a hearty breakfast and several mugs of steaming paleo, you prepare to set out for Galatop. You'll take this with you and use it if necessary, says Angubar, having you a thick cloth sack filled with gold, 500 gold tokens. It's yours to keep if you have no use for it, he says. It's the very least we could do. Go with our prayers, Sir Croakington. Okay, 500 gold. Presumably, that might make the giants more cooperative. Apparently everyone likes gold. I mean, it's shiny, and you can buy things with it. And it's shiny. And did I mention it's shiny? You're certain that the quantity of gold provided to you from the coffers of Wildbar is unlikely to have much use to you in negotiations you might find yourself in giant kind, but you thank the elder. You don't really see giants wander into shops, or at least not the shops in the human realms. I mean, there might be giant shops and giant shopkeepers hiding deep in the mountains where the giants have, I don't know, maybe not towns, because giant town would be huge and probably kind of hard to hide, but maybe villages, maybe they have those. But it tends to be sort of the rule in Swift that none of the beings other than humans really have civilizations. Which is probably why, permanent civilizations with, you know, permanent settlements and you're building things. The goblins had a try at that Igamorok, the goblin emperor, he definitely tried to forge them into something more than just a motley collection of disparate tribes, but that fell through for various reasons. Yeah, I mean, out in the deeper Neverwall realms, you can get proper civilizations, but in Tysa and the surrounding nations, it's pretty much only humans have towns. Admittedly, that's just the expectation in fantasy that humans and nearly humans, because let's face it, elves, dwarves, and hobbits are just humans but squished and squelched a little bit, and they keep mentioning it. You think, alright, anyway. As you step out of the inn, prepare to make the relatively short trek to Galatrop, Angubar pulls you aside and tells you not to endanger yourself over Wandler. Like as not, he's dead, says the elder. But any trouble he's found himself in his own doing. I don't wish him ill, mind. And he returns, he's welcome, of course, but don't put out your own neck on his account. With a final nod to the elder, and with no certain knowledge that the daring endeavour you're about to undertake is known to any within Wildbar, save Abrigar and Ruthel, you make your way out of the village along the winding road that will take you to the very foot of Galatop Hill. The ride to Galatop Hill takes less than an hour, and upon reaching the grim, imposing destination, you tether your steed to a small tree, and begin to contemplate how you will make your ascent. You recall the trail of smoke you witnessed. You witnessed rising off the north side of the hill upon your arrival yesterday, though you can see no sign of it now. Angubar also mentioned that a tree of giants had settled on the northern side of the slope. An overgrown road climbs both sides of the hill. So, I can go up the north side, which will get me to the Giants quicker or south side. That will give me more time to plan things out. Anyway, what does woodmanship say? Successfully use your woodmanship skill. You carefully scour the rocky terrain that surrounds the base of Galatop and discover the telltale signs of the passing of the giants. The trail of the behemoths leads up along the road that climbs the northern side of the hill. Then I shall climb the southern side of the hill. You trek up the wandering, overgrown road that climbs the south side of Galatop proceeds with little difficulty. There are no signs that the three giants have passed this way. You've made it nearly halfway up the back of the hill when you come upon the crumbling remains of an ancient structure. Only the lower level of the once massive grey stone structure is still intact. For all indications are that it's not far off from a total collapse. Three stout timbers, cracked and weathered, which once held the tower's sturdy set of doors, offer a dark opening that leads into the base of the ruin. Though you're curious as to what might lie within the ancient tower, you're not certain it would be safe to enter it, but it's a thing to do, so let's do it. Enter the crumbling tower. Or not. Those are your two options. There's no way to use any skills or powers. Although, what would happen if I did use divination? It succeeds, but it doesn't do anything. So I know what one certain shopkeeper in an obscure tavern in Twythick will have for tea in 3 days' time. Perhaps. All right, let's enter the crumbling structure. With your trusty light source in hand, you step through the wide portal framed by the old timbers and find yourself standing in the broad, empty circular chamber. Suddenly, your eyes are drawn to something on the far side of the room. You quickly thrust forward your light and are horrified when its golden glow falls upon a large, undulating mass of grey slime. Without warning, the slime swiftly draws itself into a towering wave and surges across the chamber towards you. Well, can't be. No one. You don't go surging at me. I'm going to engage you. With your back to the doorway, in the event you might need to escape, you assume a defensive stance as you prepare to engage the surging grey slime. Massive grey slime. The massive grey slime surges towards you. Keep going. Stabity bashity bashity bash. Tries to encase my head in the slime, does some damage. Got a lot of health this, but it's a 3+, so it's going down. And it is slain. 40 XP. Your final blow sends a series of violent ripples coursing through the thick mass of slime. Suddenly, quite unexpectedly, the entire mass of slime dissolves into a small puddle of ooze. The horrid creature that has taken up residence in its ancient ruin is no more. A quick search of the chamber. You make a quick search of the chamber and discover the skeletal remains of 7 humans, no doubt victims of the fearsome slime you've just slain. A stone amulet carved into the likeness of a leering skull hangs on a silver chain from the necks of one of the skeletons. Now you can take it. Let's have a look at it. This stone amulet, which hangs on a thin silver chain, has been carved into the likeness of a leering skull. It's a neck armour, but it doesn't seem to do anything. So I'm going to take it anyway. With your search of the tower's only intact portion complete, you quickly make your way out of the crumbling structure. Once outside the tower, you once again start along the overgrown road, resuming your climb towards the summit of Galatop. With no desire to delay your mission, you press on past the tower, delay the mission anymore. Continuing your climb along the overgrown road towards the summit of Galatop. As the stony summit of Galatop looms into view overhead, you suddenly become aware of the pungent, though not unpleasant, odour of wood smoke drifting through the air. Only moments later, you spot a thick column of grey, dense smoke rising into the sky from behind a tall mound of rock not far from the towering oak, the very tree that long ago lent its might to the task that earned this peak its grim moniker. Certain that you're nearing the giant encampment, you pause as you begin to contemplate how you might best attempt to proceed with what has all the makings for a very dangerous situation. It's at that precise moment you become aware of a figure lurking in the tall grass to the left of the overgrown road you've been following. "Easy now, friend," says a brown-bearded, thick-waisted man stepping into view out of the tall grass. He winces, as if he immediately regrets having spoken so loudly, and promptly holds a finger to his lips. "Shh." He then points to a mound of rock just up overhead, over which the thick cloud of grey smoke continues to drift. You quickly note that a bow is slung over his shoulder, and a single bladed axe hangs from his belt. "I see you thought better of going up yonder rock," he says. His thick accent decidedly was alien. "Aye, me too. Giants up there. Three big nasty ones at that. Reckon I'll end up like that young fella. Back ways if I just up and popped over the top." Your mind immediately returns to Wandlier, the brazen young man who remains at least part of the reason you've come up here at all. You ask the stranger about the remains, and his rather graphic depiction of the nearly flattened, bloodied corpse of a young man convinces you that Wandlier has come to a bad end. "Oh, okay, we now know. What do we do now?" The stout bearded man is of substantial torso wrapped in a grimy green tunic, approaches you and initiates a shoulder cross. He introduces himself as Grey Draymook and is about to reciprocate the introduction. He holds up his hand and shakes his head. "I know full on who you are," he says. "It's a great pleasure by all marks, Sir Croakington. Truth be known, I'm rightfully happy to have your company up here just now." Draymook casts a wary glance towards his summit and shakes his head. You learn that Draymook, a woodsman born in Wuzarl, who now hails from Larrigal, a village less than 10 miles north of Galatop. Draymook tells you that he's been hunting the forest near the foot of the hills when he encountered Wandlier. He says that the young man told him about the giants to take up residence at the hill, and Wandlier seems determined to confront them and drive the trio from the region, and quite confident he would succeed. Well, he was wrong about that. "Told me he had a magic rock, as it were," says the stout woodsman. "Didn't pay any mind to that, see? But I did tell him there were giants up the hill, and he'd best turn home for supper and leave them be. Isn't much sense for a young fellow to get all tangled up in things such as giants, mind. And well, we know what's come of him now." Draymook tells you that he followed Wandlier onto the hill, staying far enough behind the determined young man just not to be spotted. He made it just up to the spot back ways, where he is still. When those three lot came down the slope, chasing a large bear, as it were. Large as I've seen, mind. Young man up and squared with the beast, but got torn down soon as you could blink. You learn that after being mauled by the massive bear, the fearsome creature was drawn back by one of the giants who managed to grab hold of a thick length of chain the beast was dragging. All right, so the bear's the giant's pet, apparently. Okay. I like these giants slightly more now. The young fellow was still alive. Like as not his last breath, says the woodsman, with a hint of sadness in his voice. Those giants mumbled among themselves a bit. Then one of them stepped up and smashed him. Just once, mind. Reckon they no want to see him suffer as he was. Then they all went back up the hill, bear tucked in at their heels. Draymuk says that before the giant started back up towards the summit, one of them took Wandelier's pack. Suppose the magic rock was in that pack, he says. Not much good it done by him. Still, it's interesting to consider. Yeah, you'll think about that magic rock quite a bit. You ask Draymuk what he's still doing in Galatop. He tells you that he's keeping watch over the giant, lest they leave the encampment and wander off the hill. A pair of young lads rode past on the road not long back. He says. From Wildbar there was. Going a fair clip, too. Out to fetch the rangers, they say. I told them I'd keep eye on the giants. At least, wait until they turned up with some rangers. Giants and bears don't scare me, mind. I reckon the same's true for you. After several more minutes of conversation with the woodsman, you learn what is perhaps the true motivation for his decision to linger so near the giant's camp. He tells you that apart from the chained bear who lies on the far side of the hollow, he spotted the pack they took from Wandelier's corpse.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This summer, saddle up with the only sportsbook where you can bet on horse racing, FanDuel. Right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $500. Just download the app or go to FanDuel.com/horses to score your no-sweat bet up to $500. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Offer valid on first real money wager of $5 or more. Verified FD racing account required. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 7 days after issuance. Max refund $500. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I've caught the notion of getting out of that pack, he says, nervously winking his hands. If they left it for a time, I'll just pop over there and have a peek. No such luck. At least not yet. You find yourself slightly put off by Draymond's apparent obsession with obtaining Wandelier's pack. An artifact that induces obsession. Must be one of those dreadstones. Apparently it can induce an obsession even though he's probably never actually seen it. Let alone, you know, touched it or even been all that close to it. But still, it has that aura that makes you want it. and believe it does things, even though apparently, it does do things. Apparently, it summons, it calls forth undead and turns you into an emancipated near corpse. Well, eventually. Oh, yeah, and when you die, it turns you into one of those undead. But I think people think it has effects that are, you know, useful to you. But there's no evidence it actually does that. But I guess that's part of its effect, is you believe it does things. Even does it things for you, even though it doesn't. And you can't actually point out anything it's actually done that you're sure of. But you probably go, oh, I found a penny 3 years ago. Well, I was carrying the walking around. That must be the Dreadstone's effect. Yes. Oh, I haven't been crushed. I haven't been mauled by any dragons. Must be the Dreadstone's effect. Of course, most people don't get mauled by dragons because of, you know, the work of a certain group of knights. Because there isn't actually all that many dragons about. You tell Dreybok that your only mission is to see that the three giants leave Gallotep Hill and depart from the region. Well, look here, Sir Croakington, he says, rubbing his chin as he casts his glance towards the top of the hill. The plain fact is, if they leave, they'll like as not haul the pack off with them, of course. I've never seen anyone ask a giant to leave out of where they set themselves. And three of them, no less! Still, you're probably quite right. It's all for the best if they go. If they will, of course. With the stout woodsman at your side, you cover the last bit of ground that lies between you and the crown of the hill, ultimately placing yourself just behind the large mound of rock that Dreymok says concedes a wide hollow in which the giants have set up camp. You sneak round and have a look, he whispers. Don't let them see you. Keeping one eye on the woodsman and making certain that each of your footfalls is as near to silence as possible, admittedly a bit easier for Sir Croakington than most because she is rather small. You creep around the shoulder or ledge that you've been told conceals the giant encampment. You soon reach the lip of a broad hollow, and with bated breath you peer over the edge. There, seat around a small fire in the middle of the hollow are three mountain giants. The fur-clad, thick-bearded trio of gargantuan humanoids sit in silence, staring into the dancing flames in their midst. Lying on the far side of the hollow, its neck encircled by a wide ring of leather, which is in turn attached to a sturdy length of chain, is a massive, feathering brown bear, the very creature Dreymok claims mauled Wandelier. The sleeping bear is by far the largest you've ever seen. You can only assume the fearsome creature possesses strength beyond reason. A suitable beast to find in the keeping of mighty giants. And a very good boy, most likely. You know, with a few exceptions. Close to the bear rests the leather pack, Wendelis pack, which Dreymok has made frequent mention of. That's presumably where the Dreadstone is, because really only a Dreadstone could make someone want it that so much that you'd even think of getting anywhere near giants to get it. Okay, there's probably a few other artifacts that can do that, but Dreadstone is definitely one of them. Without making a sound, you slip away from the edge of the hollow and return to the woodsman's side. We could take out the lot of them, says the woodsman, with an unnerving degree of confidence. Yes, that is unnerving. He pats the bow slung over his shoulder and nods. I'm a deadly mark with this old thing. We need to get the bear first, and then one or two of the giants, and then... You interrupt Drowmok and tell him that his suggestion may not prove to be the best course of action for dealing with three mountain giants and their fearsome pets. He smiles and shakes his head. Right you are then, he says. Only if it comes to that, I suppose. Just want you to know I'm at the ready. What do you propose then? You realise, despite Greg Drowmok's alarming bravado, that if ridding Galatop of the Giants ultimately proves a violent confrontation, a surprise attack may be your only chance at obtaining victory. Still, the thought of launching an attack on the three mountain giants and the savage bear in their keeping is not a particularly inviting notion. So, if I launch a surprise attack, well, we're stuck on the violent route. I mean, if there is any other route. Admittedly, I'm for the purposes of this episode, I'm feigning ignorance about various options. Even though I've played through this adventure several times, for example, in the Adventures of Zoop. Right, you just look up the name of Drowmok and you'll be able to find the episode list. One of the episodes on it is a two-parter. Because there's quite a lot of stuff going on. So I could approach the giants or launch a surprise attack. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to keep this option, because this is one of those scenarios with several, quite a lot of different paths to it. I'm going to launch a surprise attack. You tell Drowmok that you believe your best chance for success is to launch a surprise attack on the giants and either quickly gain the upper hand or startle them enough to drive them from the hill. Well there, you got your bow, he says, and I've got mine, as you see. Our best luck will come from the two of us sticking them from afar a few hours. No doubt about it. Putting yourself up right close to giants is asking for nothing but trouble. So I reckon you must know. Well, admittedly, I don't think these giants have anything on Justice Khan. Because that was a large and incredibly formidable giant. These are just regular mountain giants. Still giant and still tough. But nothing compared to old Hungry Jack. You ask Drowmok if he has any experience in dealing with giants. The giant purses his lips and falls silent for a moment, before answering in the negative and forcefully shaking his head. I'm not afraid of them, if that's what you're about, he says, as if offended by the question. I'm not afraid of that big bear either. You know what, a bit of fear probably might be helpful. You know, it might tell you when you're about to do something incredibly stupid and say, hey, don't do that thing. It's incredibly stupid and will get you killed, or almost certainly get you killed for no particular reason. I mean, that's what fear is for. It's to say, hey, that thing, it's dangerous. Don't do that thing. And occasionally you say, fear. Oh, yeah. All right, fear. You're onto something. Or sometimes you go, no fear, you're being stupid, shut the hell up, I've got stuff to do. Or no fear, you're just being racist. Shut the hell up even more. Or I can say, yes fear, I know it's dangerous, but there's some stuff I've got to do. Now would you please let me move my arms and legs? Thank you very much. I have stuff to do. Now, stop jiggling things and let me get to work. Come on then, Sir Croakington. Let's be done with the lot of them. Then we can get ourselves that. Come on, let's be done. Oh, you're still thinking about that? You're still thinking about that pack and that magic stone. You take up position on the south side of the hollow, while Drowmok skirts the encampment and sets himself up on a small ledge to the north. With your bow in hand, you keep a close eye on the giants, who have not yet spotted either of you. of you as the woodsman gets into place. Suddenly, one of the giants leaps to his feet and turns to face Drowmbeak. Your heart pounds as a towering fur-clad humanoid draws a bone club and charges across the hollow towards the startled woodsman. Oh, he's in trouble. As Drowmbeak fumbles with his bow, the other two giants swiftly rise. One of them follows at the heels of his charging brethren, their combined footfall shaking the ground beneath your feet. The other, much to dismay, turns and glares directly at you. You fall back from the edge of the hollow as the third giant rushes in your direction. I'm getting one and he's getting two giants? Considering how high, that does not seem in any way fair. I don't know what the bear's doing, though. I imagine the bear will join in soon enough. You fall back from the edge of the hollow as the third giant rushes in your direction, brandishing a long iron wad that's nearly as thick as your leg. Now, was this iron wad crafted, or... where in a medieval period would you get long iron wads? Because, in a more modern period, iron wads for days. But in a medieval period? Maybe some structural stuff, but I think most of it didn't really use iron structurally. Ships were all wood. Maybe it was. Maybe someone could think of something. Think of a situation where you could have a really thick, chunky iron wad in a medieval circumstance. If you can think of one, tell me on the Swift Discord. This is the unofficial Swift Discord. The official one doesn't get as much traffic because the GM's got game stuff to do. But the unofficial one, that's mine. It's nearly as thick as your leg. The sharp twang of a released bowstring reaches your ears, rising above the thunderous din of the giant's heavy footfalls. An agonized roar echoes off the walls of the hollow as the first of the towering humanoids to charge at Drowmbeak staggers forward and then collapses to the ground. The end of a feathered shaft protruding from his head. Oh, he is good! Shocked that Drowmbeak managed to kill a fearsome giant with a single arrow. Wait, has he enhanced the arrows in some way with, poison? I think there's a pretty decent chance. Your eyes are suddenly drawn to the woodsman's next missile as he notches it and takes aim at the second giant. The tip of the arrow glistens with the deadly venom that coats it. Yep, poison. There's little time to dwell in the unexpected but somewhat reassuring turn of events, for the wad-wielding giant is nearly upon you, raising his punishing weapon as he prepares to strike you a killing blow. Alright, I've got several options here. I could hold my ground and engage the approaching giant. I could choose archery, telekinesis, or elementalism. I'll use telekinesis. It succeeded. 24 experience to telekinesis. You call upon your power of telekinesis and project a powerful blast of telekinetic energy at the legs of the charging giant. The invisible force smashes into his white knee, eliciting an agonized cry as the towering behemoth crashes to the ground. The enraged giant struggles to regain his feet. So I could rush forward and attack the wounded giant, which presumably would enter me pretty sharply into combat with a weakened foe. Walk away where I am, and I'm not sure what would happen there, so I'll take that. As the wounded giant struggles to regain his feet, his eyes suddenly fly open, and a horrified expression appears on his rugged face. The bearded giant gasps loudly and pitches forward, striking the ground face first, causing a reverberating thud that echoes off the side of the broad hollow. A single feathered shaft protrudes from the giant's back. I mean, that is dishonourable, but these are giants, so... sort of honourable combat is not really going to work unless you're some sort of uber guy like Sir Crokington. And I don't... outside of the bow, I don't think Dromok is an uber guy. The venom laced almos of Dromok have claimed another victory. You make your way down into the hollow, and have only just started towards the far side when the last of the giants, and easily the largest of the three, roars in agony and collapses to the ground, with one of Dromok's deadly missiles buried in his throat. Wow. I think this is possibly just about the only time where you adventure alongside someone else, and they do all the killing. I mean, usually it's most 50-50, but it's usually leaning slightly in your direction. But this time, you've got them all. Only seconds later, another of the woodsman's well-placed shots fells the massive bellowing bear. Yep, he's got everything. You stand staring wide-eyed at the carnage that now fills the broad impression at the summit of Galatop. Dromok, with a satisfied grin spreading across his face, climbs down into the hollow and salutes you with a wave. "Not a bad bit of work," he cries, beaming as he glances around at the unmoving corpses of the dead giants and their bear companion. "Now then, just one more, I think. One more, but there's no one here but me." Oh no. Well, it just makes sense that someone who has poison arrows might just be a little bit psychotic. Your heart skips a beat as the woodsman swiftly draws his bow and launches an arrow, levelling the glistening tip of the poisoned missile at you. And we know from what we've just seen that this is some serious heavy duty poison. This isn't just your namby pamby, you get sick and then die in a few weeks poison. This is poison. This is the proper stuff. The dead poison. And that's for giants. What would it do for Sir Crokington, who's really, really tiny? So the poison will be even more effective on Sir Crokington than it would be for, well, anyone else, nearly. Although Sir Crokington being small would make her harder to hit. And hitting a giant, not really that difficult. Unless they're moving, you know, across your path. But I think they were charging at him. Two of them were going towards him. And one of them was still. So they weren't particularly difficult targets. So we know he's got force. You can get some force between these arrows. But we're not quite sure how he is on accuracy. But we shall find out very soon. "I've waited too long to get my hands on that stone," he says, making an obvious reference to what he believes is in the leather pack, formerly belonging to Wandir. "So long, Sir Crokington." With the snap of the woodsman's bowstring, followed immediately by the sharp wash of air as his arrow takes flight, fills you with dread. "You've only a split second to act. Okay, what do I do now? I could just dodge, but I think I can do better than that. Okay, I've got fortification, telekinesis, or elementalism. Elementalism has slightly more success chance, so I use that. Succeeded. 16 XP to elementalism. You channel your power of elementalism and direct a powerful surge of wind towards the speeding shaft. The deadly missile is caught by the wind and sent soaring off course. The poisoned arrow sails past several yards to your right. Dremot curses and casts down his bow, drawing his axe as he charges at you. I'm guessing he knows he couldn't line up a shot in the time it would take him to get to me to get to him, especially if I use a super spring, which of course he knows well about, being familiar with my adventures. He knows all about how I can spring really fast and get to people super quick and then bash them. With unnerving speed and ferocity, Drellmark is upon you, cursing you aloud as he swipes at you with his axe. You had your chance, he cries, a wild look dancing behind his wild-eyed gaze. What you won't give me, I'll take it. Hey, we haven't even talked yet. I mean, you don't know that I want the Dreadstone, but you don't even know it is a Dreadstone. You don't know what you're getting. It could just be nothing at all. You just have a notion. And you don't even know if it's in the backpack. You strongly suspect you probably wouldn't be this crazy if it wasn't, but still. All right. Drellmuk. Begin combat. All right. Since this guy is just a little bit crazy, and our only option is to kill him, because he looks like he'll kill again, and also he's crazy deadly with those arrows and the axes and everything, aggressive. Drellmok hacks at you with his axe. No, not my precious limbs. I need them for stabbing and picking up artifacts and writing my memoirs. Anyway, he is slain. Apparently he's slightly less deadly without his bow. Because admittedly it makes sense that someone who's mainly a bow guy probably would have to be somewhat weaker with other things. Unless he's got a lot of experience points to spread around. He is slain. 22 XP. The stout woodsman loosens his grip on his axe, and the deadly weapon drops to the ground. He staggers forward, clutching at you in a last desperate attempt to remain on his feet, before toppling over. He does not move again. You stare down at the bloodied corpse of Drellmok lying at your feet and give in to the sudden and inexplicable urge to smile. No longer will the unscrupulous woodsman convert your Dreadstone. And that's probably the other reason why the subdue option wasn't available. Because you've got the Dreadstone urge. As your senses become awash with a confusing mix of guilt and fear, you resolve to leave Gallowtap Hill as quickly as you can and vow never to return. Next is the body of one of the slain giants. You discover the leather pack that formerly belonged to Wandir, the pack the Drellmark was so very keen to acquire. You open the pack and peer into it. There, resting in the bottom of the otherwise empty satchel, maybe you should have brought more stuff with you, is a fist, or maybe there was other stuff at the time, but they took that out. Because, I mean, if he had, say, adventurer's provisions, the giants could use that. And he had some gold with him, they could probably use that. there, resting at the bottom of the otherwise empty satchel is a fist-sized, smooth grey stone. Three small figures, each with its arms and legs awkwardly poised, are carved into the surface of the stone. A strange sensation comes over you when you realise you have at last acquired the third dreadstone, getting me 128 experience to general. After checking and checking again that the third dreadstone is tucked safely in amongst your belongings, you quickly make your way out of the hollow and prepare to descend the hill, eager to return to Wildbar and report on the outcome of your mission. Your return to Wildbar is brief and largely uneventful. Anabrigar seems genuinely saddened to learn of Randalir's passing and tells you he will personally bear the news to his family. The Elder thanks you repeatedly for the great service you've done on behalf of the village and the entire region, and asks you to stay for a grand supper to be held in your honour. With no desire to linger in Wildbriar longer than necessary, you politely refuse the offer. Telling the Elder you will one day return to see that he makes good on it, he laughs and tells you that you're welcome at any time. You make an inquiry with Anabrigar regarding the woodsman Drellmok, and he tells you he's never heard of such a person. You nod and thank him for the reply. Before you leave Welfare House, you quickly check over your equipment, paying particular attention to the three dreadstones placed in amongst your other belongings. For just a moment, your gaze is transfixed by the trio of smooth grey rocks, and you suddenly feel vulnerable, as if your every move is being closely watched by unseen eyes. You hurriedly tuck away the stones and bid Anabrigar and the innkeeper Wuthwul farewell. The two men follow you out the inn and watch as you depart, heading north along the road that will take you out of Wildbar and past the grim spectre of Gallowtop Hill. Now it's even more grim. What with all those corpses on the top of it? As the broad village thoroughfare narrows and melds into the foot of a winding woodland lane, you glance back in the direction of the inn. There, still standing outside the doors of Wayfair House and Anabrigar, are Anabrigar and Wuthwul, their distant gazes still solidly fixed on you. So, 1,024 experience to general, and 128 experience to all skills and powers. Alright, and that is the end of that adventure. Now, but I think... Well, I do know that there is other ways to do that. And you know what? There might be a way around it which doesn't turn everyone but me into a corpse. Even the bear. The bear was okay, maybe not good. I mean, it did maul someone to death, but, you know, bear. That's what happens with bears. Bears like to maul things. That's kind of what they're for. Anyway. Okay, so if I save now, well, then Drellmark, the giants, and their bear are doomed to stay dead. So, I'm not going to save. I'm going to quit. And in the next episode, we'll try out at least some of the other ways of doing that adventure. But perhaps not all of them. It might even take us a couple of extra episodes to cover all the options. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.